Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is the 15th of July, a Monday, 2024. We are live at Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention here at Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. And right up front, I'm going to give you a driving tip high in the sky from the helicopter, or at least from Todd's on-ground reporting. If you are in southeast Wisconsin and you are thinking about driving into Milwaukee, one word, don't. I mean, unless you have like a legal thing you have to do today or some absolute emergency, stay the heck out of Dodge, because it is a traffic nightmare in Milwaukee right now. Tried to drive in from a little bit north of downtown and ended up not going into the secured area to park, which we had a pass for, but rather went to a parking garage outside of that and took a walk. And by the time Todd got to Panther Arena, it looked like my shirt had just come out of the laundry and out of the wash machine, not the dryer. But all is well. We adjust on the fly, and we went into the bathroom and dried off a little bit. And we are here at Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. Big show for you today. A little bit later in hour two, we're going to be joined by Matt Flynn. He is a two-time Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, an attorney, and of course, an author. And he's going to be here to talk about his brand new book. I have it right here. It's called Hunting Bernie Weber. For those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and I think we're still streaming on Twitter, but I don't know. We'll check that out. They've changed things up a little bit. But Matt's going to be along for a couple of reasons. He wrote this brand new book called Hunting Bernie Weber. Unlike some of his mysteries or dramas, this one's a little bit more lighthearted. It's a little bit of a humorous look at everything. So he's going to be along to talk about that and also give us his legal perspective on the ruling today by Judge Cannon down in Florida, basically dismissing the charges, at least for now, on those document cases down in Florida. Matt will be here to sort it all out like he always does. And then coming up at the bottom of this hour, my former boss, at least one of them, Scott Klug, former U.S. Congressman from Wisconsin, Second District, a Republican, host of Lost in the Middle podcast, and it airs here on Civic Media on weekends. Scott will be along to talk a little bit about, as a former member of Congress, what it's like to deal with the Secret Service and secured events as we reflect back on the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump over the weekend. He's also going to help us set the stage a little bit and talk about how the 2024 Republican National Convention differs from Republican conventions in the 90s, when I used to work for him, and he'll give us an analysis on that as well. But as he did all last week across Wisconsin on our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour, joining us from the beautiful burg of Wauwatosa here in southeast Wisconsin, just outside Milwaukee, our friend and colleague, a Republican, former Republican like myself. He is now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Our friend, our colleague for the week here in Milwaukee, Trygve Olson. Trygve, long time no see. Welcome back to Wisconsin for week two.
Thanks, Todd. It's good to be back. I'm sorry that I didn't make it down there to you for today. I'll be down there tomorrow.
Well, don't be sorry. I mean, I'm lucky I made it in here. I mean, I know you've been to a lot of these the conventions. Let's just start it there. I mean, there's only five checkpoints to get in terms of vehicles into the secure zone. And they were saying it takes about 5 minutes per car. Where I was at on Michigan Street, I figured it out kind of looking in front of me. And I'm like, it's going to take me 2 hours just to get through the checkpoint. I mean, is that the norm based on other national conventions? I know you've worked for McCain and others. I mean, is that the norm of these things?
I've never driven a car. I've always had a car and driver, except this time where I've got Uber. So I don't really know the answer to that, other than driving around conventions is a disaster, right? It's like the Super Bowl, right, or any major national security event. So
Yeah, like I say, if you do not have business in the city of Milwaukee, at least downtown, stay clear, because it is a traffic and driving nightmare right now down here. But a lot of business to get to, Trigvi. A big show here today. I want to start out at the top of the show here and just to reiterate something that Civic Media, our CEO, Sage Weil, said over the weekend. And certainly I stand by this personally. We stand by it on this show. And first and foremost, violence of any kind, in particular political violence, is simply not acceptable. And if we're going to be advocates of democracy in this network and on our show like we are, we have to stay true to that. You and I have always stayed true to that here, and you can speak about your experiences around the world, particularly in Eastern Europe, taking on autocracies. But violence is never the answer. I certainly denounce the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump over the weekend. Certainly, thank God that he was not more gravely injured. Our hearts go out to the at least one victim that we know of that was killed in the assassination attempt on the former president. Others are injured. We are thinking about them and their families today. It was not a great day on Saturday, Trigvi, for America. And you and I are old enough to remember the last time something like this happened was, of course, the assassination attempt on now former President Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I mean, there is no place for it. And, you know, it's a cycle. And we've kind of been headed towards some of this for a long time, I think, Todd. So the bottom line is people need to be taking a deep breath. They need to be looking at the forest for the trees, and both sides need to amp it down, you know?
Yeah. You, like I say, for those that aren't maybe regular listeners, you have worked against autocracies, against fascism around the world. And we say this because I think it is pertinent, and it just shows how hard you've worked, how well you're known around the world. You're the only guy I know who is banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. Talk about what you've seen personally around the world in other places where violent political violence starts to really back and forth. It can get out of control pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cycle. And remember, for the win-win of democracy to work, it isn't the winning side that determines whether democracy works. It's the losing side consenting to being governed by the winning side. And, you know, we're reaching a point where that may not be possible. And that's the death knell of everything that our founders and has made America truly an exceptional nation. And it's not who we are. You know, you and I have been traveling around the state of Wisconsin. Are people concerned about politics? Sure, but their identities are far greater than just whether they wear a red hat or a blue hat. And we've been seeing that around the state. And we need to be recognizing that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, as we go through this program throughout the week, we want to deal in facts. We're not going to shy away from things that we've talked about on this program. Certainly disagreements we have with former President Trump, certainly disagreements with the Republican Party, the current iteration thereof is not the same thing that Trigvi and I once belonged to. And we're going to dissect some of these things in the Republican Party platform, some of the things that are said here. We're going to do our best to keep people honest. We're not going to put people on that are just going to sit here and dole out propaganda the whole week. But I think it's important, Trigvi, just up front here on a Monday to say we're also not going to deal in conspiracy theories. We're not going to deal with mistruths in terms of what happened on Saturday. We're going to talk to Scott Klug a little bit later in this show about the Secret Service. But Trigvi, again, you worked on the McCain campaign, John McCain, when he ran for U.S. president. You've been around a lot of presidential events and Secret Service protocol. Do you have any thoughts you'd like to share in terms of what happened Saturday, what might have gone wrong in terms of not being able to prevent this shooter from trying to assassinate the former president?
Well, I mean, clearly mistakes must have been made that it happened. And, you know, you think about how many events the president, former presidents, events that have Secret Service protection, you know, massive amounts of events. And I mean, clearly something failed in this instance. I don't have any unique insights into the, you know, into what those were beyond what's been reported. But it's, you know, it's a tragedy. And it's a tragedy, not just, you know, in terms of events and what it portends, but it also, you know, it's a sad day for how America is seen around the world.
And that's important. I mean, you've literally seen around the world yourself, and how we're portrayed, how we deal. I mean, as Ronald Reagan once said, we're supposed to be that shining city on a hill, that the world of democracies, and even those that don't live in democracy but would like to, are trying to emulate.
100%. And, you know, the, you know, hopefully it's an event that causes people on both sides to pause a little bit and think. I don't know that it will, but, you know, much like January 6th or what happened after George Floyd, these are moments, they're warning signs, and we need to all be pausing and asking ourselves, what does it mean, and not buying into the conspiracy theories and not immediately laying blame.
I was impressed, Trigvi, and about 2 minutes here before the first break, I was impressed by current President Joe Biden speaking a couple of different times, one's right after the incident, one's from the White House Oval Office last night, denouncing this, calling it sick. He reached out. He talked to former President Trump. Neither one of them are really disclosing what they talked about, but I thought it was a moment, Trigvi. We'll see how long it lasts, but I thought it was a moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that the two of them talked. I think it's important that President Biden was speaking out. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we certainly will. Well, a lot to get to here this week. I know you're going to be joining us here at our desk here at Wisconsin Media Row. It's a great setup. It was really Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch was the instigator here. He had plans to do this when the Democratic National Convention was going to be here in 2020. Of course, that got all messed up due to the pandemic and COVID. But I give the RNC a lot of credit for agreeing to do what the Democrats had planned to do here in Milwaukee, which is to make this Wisconsin Media Row, which is 25 different newspaper, digital, television, radio venues here to cover this entire thing from a Wisconsin perspective. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about Trigvi, what things are going on here today. It sounds like the president or the former president may name his vice presidential pick. We'll see what Trigvi knows about that. Also, take your phone calls a little bit later on. Scott Clue joins us. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. We are live from Wisconsin Media Row at the 24 Republican National Convention. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, former Republican Congressman, U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, who is also the host of the Lost in the Middle podcast here at Civic Media, and you get it wherever your podcasts are, wherever you get your podcasts, I should say. He'll be here live at the desk with us. Right now, joining us from a little bit outside the convention hall today, he'll be here tomorrow on the grounds with us, Trigvi Olson, like myself, a former Republican, and now the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, before we get to the possible VP pick former President Trump today, I think we should address, got a couple of comments here on the line saying that there is concern about the rhetoric that some people have used. I'll just say, you know, myself, that I've certainly called some of the actions of Trump fascist. I've talked about the things that he has proposed to do are fascism, and I don't think that's disputable. Former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger from Illinois, part of the bipartisan January 6th committee over the weekend, tweeted out and said, you can be against strong rhetoric, and or you could call out, you know, strong rhetoric, or you could be a Trump supporter, but you can't be both. And I thought that was pertinent, Trigvi, because it seems hypocritical to say that you're against that somehow rhetoric from that was in opposition of Trump resulted in this assassination attempt. But if you look at a lot of the rhetoric coming from Trump himself and the current iteration of the Republican Party, I would argue that's even more vitriol and more dangerous. What say you?
Well, I think there's no doubt that you know, countries get to this place because not in an instant, but over a series of many, many, many moments. And there's no doubt Donald Trump has lots of things to be called out on and should be called out on. I think, though, there has to be a realization, and what we all have to be asking ourselves is, when we see things happen in politics, we need to ask ourselves, if the other side were doing what my side's doing, would I be angry or outraged about it? And people on the right or the left would do that. And if your answer is, yeah, if it were being done to me, I'd be outraged by it, probably shouldn't be doing it. And we've lost that threshold. And that threshold creates a cycle, and that cycle creates events. And certainly Donald Trump and his side, as do some people on the extremists on the left, need to really think about what's being said. Both sides.
Yeah. Well said. I want to turn to what Reuters is reporting right now. I believe they're the first to report it right now that I've seen, although I've been kind of setting things up here. Reuters News Service is reporting, amongst others, that Donald Trump is expected to name his vice presidential pick tonight, or sometime today at least, here at the convention here in Milwaukee in the convention hall. Trump flew in last night from Bedminster, New Jersey, and spent the night at the Pfister Hotel, according to reports. Trigvi Olson, you've been part of presidential campaigns. You've been around this a long time on the Republican side. Look, this is a parlor game. This is a guessing game. Everybody from J.D. Vance to Marco Rubio to Doug Burgum of North Dakota. Is it still down to those three, in your opinion, or do you think there could be somebody from outside of that list named today?
Well, it is Donald Trump, so you never know. I mean, you know, those are the names that are circulating around. Usually when you get to this point, you know, you've got people staked out at their houses.
Right, right.
I mean, it's one of those things we'll see when we see, right? Like the number of people who actually know, small. I don't know that it really matters a huge amount. You know, I think at the end of the day, the candidates at the top of the ballot are what's going to be judged by voters.
I mean, I remember in 2012 when Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan was chosen by Mitt Romney as the running mate. I remember Paul giving interviews later on saying that he kind of had to sneak out of his house in Janesville through some woods, and there was somebody meeting on the other side to avoid the media and the paparazzi that were staking him out because he was on the short list. And it was basically his wife and a couple of people, the Romney team and the Secret Service, and that was it. And so he kind of, you know, went through the woods in his hunting gear, as I recall. Do I have that right, Trigvi?
Yeah, that's how I recall the story, too. I mean, campaigns go to great distances to try and create head fakes and all the rest to keep it under wraps. And, you know, that's what the Trump campaign's doing at the moment. And I don't know. We'll see when we see.
We'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow. And that's one of the things I think just to set, and this is one of the reasons that we're here, Trigvi, one of the reasons that we're here in we're in Panther Arena, and those that aren't familiar, this is where the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee men's and women's basketball team plays. This is where the Admirals hockey team plays. Maybe Trigvi will strap on some skates and skate around here later on. And then there's kind of a what is a gravel lot right now, and then Fiserv Forum, where the Bucks play. That's the main convention hall. Most of the press is here in Panther Arena. CBS, NBC, you know, CNN, they're over in the Pfizer proper, but we're here to give people a sense. I can tell you two things, Trigvy, for being here just this, we got in on Friday, really, but being here today since it really started, it is a ghost town in central downtown Milwaukee within the perimeter. It feels extraordinarily safe, and it feels very, if I could use the word, normal in terms of the agenda, the people here. Yeah, there are some t-shirts that say, you know, I'm proud to vote for a 34-time convicted felon, which I've never seen that before at a Republican convention, but it all feels very normal in terms of, right, of a Republican event. You don't get that sense of bizarreness that we've seen leading up to it. What do you make of that, Trigby?
Well, I mean, you're inside the security perimeter, Todd, so that's a pretty controlled environment, and I think that probably isn't unique to most of the conventions I've been to or events like that. You know, when it's kind of weird when you're in them because you're so used to watching these things on TV, and then you're like, well, this isn't what it seems like on TV because you're actually there.
Right. Yeah, it's a little strange. I'll grant you that. But let's go quickly. Well, I think we're coming up on the break here, so we're gonna wait. But we'll take calls after we talk to Scott Klug here on the other side. I don't want you to also forget there is a big news story today on from the court side as Judge Mercedes Cannon has dismissed the charges on the documents case. Those boxes of classified documents that were in the Trump bathroom, amongst other things, in Mar-a-Lago, the judge at least now dismissing them, although there is a line of thought that that's going to be overturned. We're going to have Matt Flynn along in hour number two. He is an attorney. He knows this stuff like the back of his hand. He's going to lay this out for us. He's also a two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party and an author as well. He'll be here to talk about his new book. Stay tuned on the other side. One of my former bosses, former U.S. Congressman from Wisconsin, Republican Scott Klug, to talk a little bit about what's happening here at Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention and Wisconsin's Media Row. It's the Todd Allball Show for Monday, July 15th on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show, live from Wisconsin Media Row in the 2024 Republican National Convention across the Civic Media Radio Network. If that music sounds familiar, that means you are a regular listener of the Lost in the Middle podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or perhaps on the weekends right here at on Civic Media Radio and, of course, the Civic Media app. He is the host of Lost in the Middle, also a former congressman from Wisconsin's 2nd District, including Madison and Dane County. Still a Republican, my former boss, and a great guy, and an okay golfer, Scott Klug.
Yeah, a very okay golfer, with capital O and a K. So
we're glad to have you here, Scott, at Wisconsin Media Row, and of course joining us, our co-host for the week, from just outside the convention center area, Trigvy Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Scott, great to have you here. Thanks for stopping by. Always a pleasure. Talk to us a little bit about now Lost in the Middle, which of course Mr. Zomers helps produce, as well as our show here. You're what 7 episodes in or so, and how's it going?
We're actually 12 episodes in.
Sure.
Soon to be 13 and 14. Thanks for listening religiously, Todd. But it's it's a storytelling podcast, so we are focused on what the lost political middle thinks, and as people know, I think the 70% of the American public don't want either Donald Trump or Joe Biden. So people are just unsettled, and they're largely unsettled because I think nobody really appreciates the sort of vitriol which led to this weekend shooting, and it's got to be tamped down, and we've got to figure out some way to work together. I mean, you know, Trigvy and I may disagree on an issue, but that doesn't mean we can't shake hands and walk away from it, because tomorrow we might work on something else together where we agree. So I'm a little bit of an old school guy when people actually got it along with the other side of the aisle, and I think that's what the American public would like us to do.
Well, for those that might not be regular listeners of the show and have heard me talk about having worked for you back in the 90s, you were, in the 90s, a person that was elected as a Republican in the city of Madison. You represented the city of Madison and Dane County. You got a lot of the votes in the rural counties around that. But you were somebody who voted for Bill Clinton's 1994 assault weapons ban. You were a pro-choice Republican. Yes, they at one time existed. But you were also a fiscally conservative guy that said, you know what, don't spend money where you shouldn't, and help shut down the House Bank and Don Rostenkowski and some of these other people as well in a bipartisan way.
And also voted for Bill Clinton's impeachment. So I mean, right. I think you have to pick it as you go. So I, you know, Trigvi used to work for with Steve Gunderson, who was a colleague and a friend of mine in Western Wisconsin, the same sort of politics. And you'd see that a lot. You know, for a long time, you'd find moderate Republicans in the Midwest, a lot in New England. They're completely cleaned out in New England right now, in Southern California. And the whole Republican Party is sort of tilted towards the South and evangelical politics and some of the values that come with it. But at the same time, I mean, I have a hard time finding a home in the Democratic Party because there's a lot of stuff about the Democrats I don't like. But at the end of the day, you know, I can be a small government Republican. I'm a libertarian at heart. I don't like the government involved in my politics or my life or my bedroom or anything else in the world. But the trains still have to run on time, right? And so you have a certain obligation to have the government function at a certain level. And I don't need any more government programs, but the ones we have, at least you think you could run them more intelligently and cheaply.
You're here not as a delegate for the convention, but you're here as in a media way to talk about loss in the middle. You're talking to a lot of people around the country. But before we get to that, just to clarify, you still consider yourself a Republican, but you're not on the Trump train.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I think there's a libertarian wing of the Republican Party where I happily reside. The bus may be a little smaller than it used to be, but I think that's really, in a lot of ways, almost classic Republican ideas. Small government, you know, lower taxes, less government programs, you know, we need fewer of them, not more. And so I'm very happy. And one of the things I actually get to do this week, which is fun, I've been involved for years with, there's a group in the Department of State called the Office of Public Diplomacy, and they're always very engaged whenever the U.S. elections are up because there's so much interest from overseas because we play such an outside role in the world appropriately. And so over the next 3 days, I get to do presentations to the U.S. Embassy in Lithuania, where there'll be folks gathered, in Tunisia, and then also in Croatia. And that tells you how much people still think about the role America plays in the world and the role we should play. And the fascinating thing is going to be what their attitude will be and how frightened the Trump shooting scared them. Because there's a lot of concern around the world that the U.S. election system is sort of fraying at the edges. And the other thing that always amazes me is how much more they know about American politics than most Americans do.
Yeah.
And I did a program years ago in Sweden with a good friend of mine, Larry LaRocca, who's a Democrat from Idaho. And it was done at a high school in Sweden. And they staged a whole presidential debate. Larry was on one side and I was in the other. The students staffed it. I mean, the hosts had done questions. They actually had an audience who could raise hands and ask questions. They had students outside of the auditorium tweeting in questions for the hosts to read. And it was better than most newscasts I've been involved with in the U.S. And these kids, again, had such sophisticated questions. I mean, yeah. They knew what the Electoral College was. They knew how the Electoral College got set up and why. So that's going to be a lot of fun this week, aside from seeing other old buddies who are still active in Republican politics. And hopefully, you know, let's hope that Donald Trump decides to tone his message down, which he said he did. I remember, unfortunately, when he first got elected, the first speech he gave in Washington was setting a tone. And I thought at that point, well, maybe what we'd seen in the 16 campaign was largely a shtick and he would govern from the center with people surrounded him. That's not what happened. I just got off a conversation on Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta talking about if Trump gives a very sort of let's all get together speech on Thursday, can he stick to it in the 3 months ahead? And I think that's a question we can't answer until we see how it plays out.
Trigvi Olsen, Scott touched on something you did last segment, which is this perception of the United States elections around the world. You have ties to Lithuania, Eastern Europe. You spend time there. What do you hear from people that you know in that region of the world? Are they really concerned, as Scott's saying, about the integrity of U.S. elections and now with this attempted assassination over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a constant worry, I think. I mean, even going back to Floyd and certainly January 6th, and even the 2016 elections in Europe and amongst our allies in Asia, and, you know, and justifiably so, you know, they've dealt with extremism in a closer way than some of us have. So, yeah, it's a real problem.
Scott, I want to go back. Someone who is a former United States congressman, we're talking to Scott Klug, a former U.S. congressman in Wisconsin's 2nd District in South Central Wisconsin, a Republican, but not on the Trump train. Scott, you've been a part, as a former congressman, a member, Secret Service events, certainly been around a lot of presidential events. Just from watching it like all the rest of us did over the weekend, do you have any thoughts of what kind of breakdown? I know it's all speculation to a certain degree, but you've been part of Secret Service events. In your eyes and your experience, what could have happened?
Well, I mean, look, I walked down Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee today from, 13th Street down to where the security checkpoint was to go through, and it wasn't hard to see in the distance snipers on every rooftop. I mean, Trigby will know because he worked in Washington for years. I mean, you go to an event at the Washington Hilton where Ronald Reagan unfortunately got shot, and you'll see the same thing. It's constant. It's everywhere. I don't know what happened in this case, but clearly somebody was responsible for watching those rooftops, and somebody didn't. And we almost paid a very fatal price for it. So it's hard to believe in this day and age when you could have 5 drones in the air that anybody could even get up on those rooftops. So I'm like most Americans, saddened and depressed by what happened, that we've come to this point again. I'm old enough to remember when John Kennedy got shot when I was in grade school. Tess remembers she was scared because
your wife.
My wife Tess would have been, I have to do the arithmetic here, 8, 7, mm-hmm. And her dad had gone deer hunting that weekend, and after the Kennedy assassination, Oswald was on the run, and she was worried her dad was going to show up Wisconsin and see her dad out, you know, hunting deer north of Wausau and Merrill. So I remember that. I remember Milwaukee when I was in high school when Martin Luther King got shot, and there were race riots here and a lot of damage done to the near north side of Milwaukee. Ronald Reagan got shot the week I was about to start a new job working in Washington TV in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of been a constant presence in our life. Now, the Reagan one was the last serious one, and that was in the early 1980s.
You wanted, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, we've been blessed that we haven't really seen anything since then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I hoped and thought that it was because the Secret Service had tightened things up. But clearly, based on what happened this weekend, with all the people, all the soldiers there, how could they have missed somebody that the public saw? People in the bleachers were pointing at it.
I read an article last night. You guys have dealt with presidential visits a lot. I've basically been really a part of one when George W. Bush came to Richland Center, which was cool. But what I'm reading last night was that the people that folks saw surround Trump, those are the body people that are responsible for putting their body in between a president or a protectee, as they call it, and anybody else. Then the middle ground is where, according to the articles I've read, are where the locals get involved, whether it's the state patrols or the sheriff's department, that sort of thing. And then beyond that, beyond the perimeter, are where the snipers and the Secret Service are really watching. So one theory that's been reported on is that the people up on the pole shed kind of behind or beside Trump were watching beyond where the shooter was on the shorter area, which may or may not have been, according to a lot of reports, it was a responsibility of local law enforcement. So it may have been a breakdown in local law enforcement and not the Secret Service. Does that make sense to you, Scott?
It could. I mean, but again, this is just, you know, rank speculation. There was a report I saw that actually somebody flagged a local cop and pointed out somebody out. And the local cop yelled at the guy, and then he turned around and pointed the rifle, and the cop sort of backed up quickly and tripped over himself. And by the time he got back up, boom, 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 those were the shots. But my question is, why wasn't somebody up on those rooftops right there? I mean, it's 100 yards away. We're not talking about, you know, my brother was an FBI agent. He used to train at Quantico and train people at Quantico all the time, and I'd go down with visits. And if you see the U.S. Marine snipers, I mean, they can hit somebody from a mile away. And, you know, this was even a bad a shot as I am, I could have at least gotten it in the neighborhood.
Let's turn a page and talk about this Republican National Convention that's happening here at Milwaukee. We're talking to Scott Klug, Republican, former U.S. Congressman from Wisconsin's 2nd District, and a host of Lost in the Middle podcast. You can hear it wherever you get your podcasts, of course, here on Civic Media on the weekends. Scott, like the old Oldsmobile commercials used to say, this ain't your dad's Republican convention of the 1990s.
Yeah, it is, and it's changed. So I've been to a bundle of them. I was actually in 90, spoke at the convention in Houston to the Astrodome. And there were six other folks in the freshman class with me, and there may have been at most 300 people in the Astrodome, which probably seats 65,000. So it was sort of a strange event. It's like a comedian who couldn't get a laugh, you know, when they're on stage because nobody could react. It was so little. In 96, Mike Grebe, who's a close friend of mine who ran the law firm I worked with for years, Foley and Lardner, actually ran the convention in San Diego. So I was still in office and got to be very involved. The highlight was actually playing at an after-hours party. In 2000, I was in New York, and Rick Graber, who used to be the chair of the Republican Party.
Ambassador to Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, and runs the Bradley Foundation. So Mike Grebe, again, actually shows up in this story because Grebe and I decided we'd go to the Yankees game because neither of us had been there. The night, I'm really taking you far afield here, Todd, but it's a good story. The night before we went, a woman came down to talk to Rick Graber and me, and it looked like The Price is Right. She sort of ran down the center aisle, and Wisconsin, because of Mike's role, had a very central position in the convention. We were right next to the stage where Dole was going to speak. And she goes, "Oh, are you guys from Wisconsin? What are you doing here?" And she was from Shorewood, and Rick lived in Shorewood. And then at some point she said, "Are you doing anything fun?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually going to go to the Yankees game." She goes, "Oh, you have to meet my husband." So she runs again and then comes down 10 minutes later dragging this poor guy behind him. So, and he knew Mike because at one point, Grebe, who lived in Milwaukee, was the chair of Foley and Lardner, they actually had tried to get the New York convention in San Diego in 96, but instead it went to San Diego. So this guy says, "Well, if you and Mike come to the game tomorrow, come see me." He gives me his card. An hour and a half later, I'm paying for five beers with some buddies, and I look, and it says Randy Levine, president of New York Yankees. Oh, so Grebe and I go to the game, and it's 3-0.
Hang on, so we'll finish the story the other side.
Right. That's 3-0, 5-0. We'll pick up the game then.
He is a sportscaster, too. Scott Klug, Trigby Olson, live from the Republican Convention in Milwaukee on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show live from Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention. Klug reached for his cell phone because that's his ringtone.
And yeah, Zomer's I was kind of worried that might happen. My bad.
Indeed, that's James Brown. Yeah. I have a lot of unfulfilled dreams, one of which was to be James Brown's white drummer, but it never happened.
Never happened.
Yep, but yes,
Klug is a drummer. He used to play in the congressional band with Fred Grandy, right? Or was that, who else was in that band?
Joe Scarborough was.
Oh, Joe Scarborough, yeah.
Of Morning Joe fame. Yeah. Anyway, back to the baseball story. So here we were. Yeah, it was the fifth inning. The Yankees, at this point, were losing 7-0, whatever it is. So Grebe and I decided we were going to leave, but I said, let's go get something to eat because the food at conventions, as you'll soon discover this week, is really not very good. And so Grebe and I go in, and I said, Mike, we got to say hi to this guy. So we go in to, like, the opening the offices you'd go to the New York Yankees executive suite. Yeah. We said we're here to see Mr. Levine, and the guys all look. And the security guy takes like two steps forward. And then he calls upstairs and says, go take the elevator up. Mr. Levine will meet you at the elevator. So we go up to the third floor. The elevator opens. And Mike, Randy, good to see you. Yeah, so too bad it didn't work out, but we're going to get the next one. We're going to get 2,000 in New York, and I hope you come back here. It'd be good to see you. And Scott, it was nice to see you, my wife, last night. But have you guys eaten anything? And we said, no. He said, come on with us. You can eat with us. Opens the door. Honest to God, there we are, George Steinbrenner's office.
Get
it's
out.
Now Mike Grebe, Randy Levine, George Steinbrenner and the New York Yankees team doctor. And amazingly, you cannot see the field from the office.
Really?
Yeah. And it had, honest to God, in the corner, two beat-up, ugly beanbag chairs that looked like catcher's mitts. And the only thing that was really captivated both Mike and I was they had the original promissory note when the New York Yankees bought Babe Ruth from the Boston Red Sox, which
wow.
was so cool to see. George Steinbrenner could not have been more gracious. The food was lovely. By the time we left, it was 15 to nothing. And you can look this up. In the worst loss in New York Yankees history was 22 to nothing to the Cleveland Indians, and I got to watch it with George Steinbrenner. So that's the best moment from any convention I've ever been to.
Did he sound like Larry David's voice and Steinbrenner?
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah, as I walked in the
what's
office.
What's the matter, clothes? What's going on?
Yeah. So anyway.
That's a great story. You never know what's going to happen at a national convention. Well, talk to us here, Scott. As a former U.S. congressman, still as Republican, you and I talked a little over the weekend. Here's the thing. I was down here getting our credentials. I was around a lot of these people. And I get the foundational DNA of the Republican Party because I was a part of it for 30 years. What I don't get is how the foundational DNA has connected to the Trump DNA because it seems like it just doesn't mesh from things that I used to work on for you compared to Trumpism today. How does that happen?
Well, I think the realignment is constant in American politics. You know, today's battleground won't be. You know, you look at Ohio. So you look at California, and Gavin Newsom, who wants to run for president very badly, ended up getting 58% of the vote in California last election. Mike DeWine, who's the governor of Ohio, got 66%. That'll tell you how Republican Ohio is these days. So there's a constant shift that goes on, and it shifts, you go back to, the turn of the 20th century, and it was a fight between, the Irish and the Italians for who'd run New York, That happens constantly. And the Republican Party has sort of changed and shifted. I think the big move came when George W. Bush pivoted away from his dad's Republican Party. George H. Bush, Yankee Republican, classic, classy guy, if there ever was. And when George W. runs, he's very clearly an evangelical and appeals to the evangelical Republican base across the country. And when you ask him why he did it, he said, because I grew up in Texas. I didn't grow up in Maine. And if you look, when George W. Bush gets elected, it's the beginning of the end of moderate Democrats in the South. It's also the end of moderate Republicans in New Hampshire. And so I think what's come on is I think a lot of the cultural issues that Democrats have embraced have pushed working class voters to the Republican side. Hispanics are a perfect example. They're Catholic, they're evangelical, they have large families, they're not very woke, they're not attuned to all this, transvestite athletes in high school and all that sort of stuff.
Transgender, but yes.
Transgender. So that's, I think, in a lot of ways, pushed the Hispanics further to the right. Mm-hmm. And so the Republican base has changed. And what's changed the other way is that wherever there are university towns, the area that I once represented, where I would win races by 65-66%, have now become 65 or 66% Democratic districts, because highly educated suburban voters have shifted much more liberally on social issues, in reaction in part to what was going on with the Republican shift. I mean, there's an old story that way. Sean Trent, who's a demographer who works for Real Clear Politics, we've had on lostmiddle.com, and he says what happens is, look, I joined Todd's party, and Todd goes, well, what the hell? That's not who I want in my party. And then you go across to the other one. And I think that's been the big disaggregation. So I think you see the Republicans today much more working class, much more white, much more rural. A lot of the traditional suburban belt, hell, in Wisconsin's changed. I mean, the wow counties, which used to be as dependable as any suburban counties in the country now, have become very purple and will swing from elections to elections. It'll be interesting to see what they do in this election.
Well, I consider myself one of those people lost in the middle. I left the Republican Party in 2011 over voter suppression bills that I saw being written in closed caucuses in the state Senate, but I haven't joined the Democratic Party either, and I feel like Lost in the Middle is one of those shows at lostinthemiddle.com, where you can dial up or get your podcast or listen to it on Civic Media. You do a great job of trying to figure this out, what the question that I just posed.
Right. And the issues we've got going on right now are very germane to the point you just made about suppression bills, because we've sort of rejoined the progressive era, right? There's this big passion and fury for trying to change the elections. Now, the question gets to be, are you trying to change the election rules just because you don't like who's winning? Or are you trying to change the election rules because you really think there's systemic stuff? You know, there's actually a lot of research, Todd, that on all those issues, so the Republicans scream about secret ballots, the Democrats scream about voter ID. And if you look at a lot of research that's been done, neither of them had really made much of a difference in any election. So the question will be, all this talk about redistricting reform, about ranked voting, about all this stuff under the sun, I think those are the two issues we're working on right now in Los Middle. And if you're interested in those political reforms, it's worth listening to, because we're sort of tinkering under the hood of American politics, you know, and if you turn the wrong bolt the wrong way, things bad things happen to your old Oldsmobile, and the bad things will happen to the U.S. election system.
Well, I appreciate you taking time. It's always great to see you. It was a hell of a lot of fun working for you. You were a great boss. I only wish the Republican Party was the way it was in the 90s, because this ain't the party that I want to be with. But it's great to have an old school Republican like you here.
Well, great. It'll turn. It always turns. The one thing you can count on in American politics is just when you think you got it figured out, you're completely wrong. And thanks for the James Brown going out here.
Yeah, that's Mr. Zomer. It's back with Trivi Matt Flynn on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show from Milwaukee.